posted in front of Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. Well, God has overlooked the times of human ignorance. Now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. The word of the Lord." Our second reading is from Psalm chapter 66, verses 8 through 20. Please read responsibly with me. "Bless our God, you peoples. Let the sound of praise be heard. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us, just as silver is tried. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us out into a place of refreshment. Those that I promised with my lips and spoke with my mouth when I was in trouble. Come and listen, all you who believe, and I will tell you what God has done for me. If I had cherished evil in my heart, the Lord would not have heard me. Blessed be God, who has not rejected my prayer, nor withheld unfailing love from me."
The gospel reading this morning is from John chapter 14, starting at verse 15. Jesus said to the disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Over the last few weeks, we have been making our way through the Gospel of John and hearing about Jesus' lengthy discourse, his farewell discourse, as he says goodbye to the disciples, even before he faces the crucifixion, the resurrection, and his ascension to new life. So why all the buildup? Is Jesus simply preparing the disciples or trying to teach them something? Once again, Jesus tells them that he's going away. "I'll be right back." It feels to me like one of those sad songs you play over and over again, the kind of song that speaks to pain but also serves as a balm for a tender, grieving heart. It seems that Jesus is telling the disciples something important here about preparing them for his death. And he's also preparing them to go on without him. Not unlike any parent who prepares her child to make her way through the world. So Jesus introduces the Holy Spirit as another advocate. Here we see clearly that since there is another advocate, that Jesus must be the original, the first advocate. And the word here in the Greek is used, it's paraclete, which has a different connotation based on the context. But here, the paraclete is an encourager, one who walks alongside the disciples, not just as a means of survival of death and the absence of Jesus, but as a way to thrive. While the disciples may want to curl up with pita bread and a pint of hummus to drown their sorrows and having a sad song sing along at the news that Jesus will be going away soon, Jesus tries to comfort them and provide them with this encouragement that they so desperately need. What is the song that the disciples desperately need to hear in this moment that necessitates Jesus pulling out all the stops by introducing something new? The Holy Spirit, the paraclete, the advocate who walks with them. I'm not sure that the disciples need a sad song, but rather one of encouragement. The disciples, after all, are about to live through the worst times in their lives. They will see Jesus lose his life. They will see a tight group of disciples scatter in confusion and horror. Jesus senses this, I believe, and he wants to ensure that the disciples go on without him. They can only do this through accompaniment. Being together in Christian community, even scattered disciples need to be united. And so knowing this, Jesus has sent the advocate, the paraclete, to walk with them. Many of you who've seen me in a sleeveless t-shirt have known that I have the tattoo of a dove on my shoulder. For me, it is a reminder of the Holy Spirit's presence in my life, day after day. And when days are long and when times are tough, I reach over and I touch the dove as a reminder that that Holy Spirit is with me, even in those times when it doesn't feel like the Holy Spirit is anywhere near. Also, my cat thinks it's pretty entertaining because my cat Kiki thinks it's an actual bird, so he's entertained by that. It might seem too simple of a formula that Jesus would simply send the Holy Spirit as a placeholder until Jesus returns. Is that all the Spirit is good for? Is holding a place while Jesus is away? To accompany us so that we're not alone? To keep a light on, to chase away our fears? To comfort us until Jesus returns? And to remind us that Jesus is with us, as close as breath, as close as a tattoo inscribed on the heart? Yes, well, that's just the start. The Holy Spirit is a powerful expression of God's presence that has the ability to transform this church, this neighborhood, and it begins with us. This weekend I've been at the Synod Assembly, the St. Paul Area Synod gathered together, and Bishop Patricia Lull had a message that has me thinking. She said, are we asking the Holy Spirit of how the Holy Spirit is going to be showing up for us here and now? Are we still living in those days 50 years ago, 20 years ago, living for the good old days, even 1 year ago? Instead of being present with the Holy Spirit, spending time listening, discerning, where is the Holy Spirit acting now? The only way that we can discern that is by stopping and being silent and listening and and asking the Holy Spirit to come and to change us, to transform this community in something that we can scarcely even imagine. This God has the power to transform this community. It can coax us from our current reality and accompany us into the light, out of comfortable places, and into fresh and daring new perspectives. As we heard today in the reading from Acts, this is not an unknown God, but a personal one, one who does not observe from afar, but one who comes near, rolls up her sleeves, and gets to work with us, who came as one of us to show us how to live the greatest commandment, to love one another. Now, it may take a lifetime for us to learn how to love in this way, the way that Jesus taught. So it's a good thing the Spirit continues to teach us as we go through the seasons of our lives. And as a congregation, we go through seasons too. Seasons that this congregation will cling to the promise that the Holy Spirit walks with us. Now, the day of Pentecost is coming. In 2 weeks, Pentecost is coming, the day when tongues of fire were set ablaze atop the heads of all who were present, the day when the Holy Spirit filled up all the breathable air with a spirit so fierce that all would be filled. As we prepare for that day of Pentecost, we may notice that the songs we sing may change from that of sadness and longing for what was, and may transform into excitement about what God has in store for us here and now with the Holy Spirit as our guide. What will that song be? What melody will God place within our ears, playing so loudly that we could scarcely stop from humming the tune as we walk along, as we move and we live and have our being accompanied by the Spirit into abundant life? This abundant life that God prepares for us all. What will that song be? I don't know. But I believe it will no longer be a song of sorrow or a song of longing for the days of old, those good old days. No, it will be a song of freedom, a song of joy, a song of grateful people who can do God's work in this world. For that, I say, come, Holy Spirit, come and move us, change us, walk with us. Thanks be.